This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Boy, we've got a lot to talk about today. You know, spring practice for football opens today. We'll mention that somewhere down the line. We'll also try to wrap up. We'll wrap up the playoffs in high school basketball. We'll wrap up Michigan State's basketball season. So we've got a lot to talk about today right here on AM 870, your program in the mid-Michigan area, all across the state. If you're out there, you can listen to us on the web. If you like, you can call us up, talk sports with us, and you'll spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR. But that's the most important thing is that you listen to us each and every day, right from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. So stay tuned with us, and we hope to have you on, and hopefully you enjoy everything you're going to hear today. You can call in and contribute. We want you to do that. You can send us an email. You can do either one, but give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, we're on the web. You can check us out on the World Wide Web. You can do that as well. So there are a lot of ways to stay in touch. You can just follow us a little bit with our Facebook page and our Twitter account. You can follow us on there as well. So a lot of ways for you to stay in touch with us here at WKAR in East Lansing. And we hope to do that. You can do that with us. We'll be talking a little bit later on with Jeff Kimmerly with us. He'll have him on from the MHSAA. And there's been a lot of movement this year. A lot of movement in high school ball in that you have players going up, going down, looking up on teams are going up, and some teams going up to a Class A. This might surprise you, but moving up from Class B to Class A, Fowlerville will be a Class A school next year from here in the mid-Michigan area. And then there are a lot of teams you see moving up and moving down, moving down from Class A to Class B. You have Flint Northwestern, Flint Northern. You have Detroit Central, Detroit Pershing. They will all be Class B schools next year. Grand Rapids Creston will be a Class B school next year. And then you have moving up from Class C to Class B, you have Leslie from the mid-Michigan area moving up to Class B. You also have Eclair moving up to Class B. Detroit Henry Ford Academy School for Creative Arts, they'll be moving up to Class B. Those are just a few there. So let me look down the list of some of the schools you may, be familiar with. Moving down from B to C, Detroit Westside Academy, Harper Woods, also Muskegon Heights, moving down from B to Class C. Those are just a few there. Also, Detroit Frederick Douglass, moving down from B to Class C. And then moving up from Class D to Class C, we have a few schools here. Grand Rapids, Wellspring Preparatory. You have Ypsilanti Arbor Prep. And you have a few other schools moving up from Class D to Class C. Then moving down from Class C to Class D, moving on the downward slope, you have St. Ignace LaSalle, you have Saginaw Buena Vista moving from Class C to Class D. Boy, that might make Saginaw Buena Vista a very powerful class in Class D. So those are some of the movements, some of the schools moving up and down, and you have that each and every year in the classes depending on the school's population and how the size either goes up or either they go down. But that's the way it is. So hopefully we'll get Jeff Kimmerly on the line, and we talk with him. And let's see. You're listening to radio station AM 870 WKAR. You come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870. Let me see. We're trying to we've got to do something trying to get Jeff's number on here, so I'm trying to talk to my producer here and get him the number here. We're going to talk some basketball with you and Jeff, and on basketball with you. We'll talk with Coach Izzo, Tom Izzo, sometime during the show, hopefully at 1:20 or either at 1:20. We'll talk with Coach Izzo about this year's MSU basketball team, and that's one thing that we have to do. And we will talk with Izzo about that, and he will give us an update on the team. And more importantly now, since this year is over, we'll look ahead to next year. And with the incoming recruits, he's got a very special incoming class. How will they fit in with the players already there? What does he expect? I know it's a lot to ask since he hasn't had them playing and practice with them every single day. But that'll be a lot for the young men to ask. What will he expect from them as freshmen, incoming freshmen? Do we look for them? I think he always assumes that guys are going to be ready to play, or guys that they all want to play. We know that. But how ready will they be when they get here? Will it be all the work that they've done outside of practice or outside of their high school team and all the extra work they've been doing? Will that be maybe the main factor? So it'll be something like that. It'll be a challenge for him, as always. When you have when you lose a lot of players or you need a lot of incoming players, you will see that'll be the number one challenge of players coming in. How do they fit in with the program? And that's what you're going to have to look at. When we talk about this year's football team in spring practice, well, there's a lot of new players in. There's going to be a lot of obviously the quarterback role will have to be filled, and of course the receivers. That's two areas of football which Coach D'Antonio will be looking at very closely to see how many players, especially in football, will be able to fit in and be receivers this year. And the quarterback and the backup quarterbacks, that all have to be decided. Some of the defensive line, they're not thin. They've got a lot of good defensive linemen there. But which one will emerge and be starters this year? That's going to be what they're probably trying to figure out during the spring, which ones will start and will be the starters. And the linebackers are all solid. They all come back from last year, and they're in good shape. And there'll be some battles on the defensive backfield. So we'll talk about some of those things on Sports Talk 870. But right now, let's go to Michael and talk with him. Mike, how you doing? Hey, Mike.
Start doing the last few weeks before the kids get off for the summer there, or it's just they started before basketball, before the Final Four ends? How explain that?
What, spring practice?
Yeah.
They're starting today. Today is the first day of spring practice.
Okay, because I know some schools have it during the Final Four weekend and –
Yeah, they every school does it the way they want it. They get 15 practices sometime in the spring. Like Michigan started theirs a week or so ago, but every school does it their way. Ours, it didn't start here because they thought the weather might turn, but since it didn't, they probably could have started earlier since the weather's been good. But they decided just to wait just in case if something happens.
I mean, I watched the state finals. I watched all the three final teams, but the Lansing section team really impressed me. They really did. I mean, and I was more impressed with their grade point averages. All of them got 3.5 averages.
Yes, that's what Coach was telling us yesterday. They're all very good students, so that's very impressive that they're good students and they care and put a lot of work into the classroom, and their parents stay on them too. So that's really very good.
That's real good. I was just impressed. I more was impressed with that than anything else I read over the weekend, even though I read about our coach up here in Saginaw winning the state championship for the first time in his first year head coach. But
that's pretty good.
What really touched me is the way they played. I mean, the way they was playing, they wasn't like a star-laden team with a lot of egos, with a dominant player there. They played like a team. They got into their offense, they whipped around for an open shot and everything. I was really impressed with the coaching they was.
It was very good, and that was very good for them.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about, too, since Matt Costello win Mr. Basketball, do you think that'll take care of the Michigan State problem with lack of height?
Well, they really don't have a lack of height. They've got, you know, you've got the two big guys. That'll help. They'll give them a little bit more height with Costello, so he'll be the third guy. But their height isn't too bad. And you have Guano, remember, so you've got four guys who have good height though, right now. So it's just a matter of how well does they fit in, and how well does Guano's going to have to get better on with defense, that's for sure.
Here's another question about the NCAA. Did you watch Kentucky play?
I watched some of them. Yeah, I watched some of them. I haven't watched them a whole game, but I watched them at time to time, parts of it.
What impressed you about Kentucky's team?
Well, they're big up front. They're very big, and you have to be impressed with their center, who's very good. Anthony is probably going to be, if he comes out, he'll be the first pick in the draft. That's for sure. And they're so athletic. That's the thing you really notice. They're big and they're athletic. So when you got that combination, that's really hard to beat.
I keep reading that's the best Kentucky team that's been around for 25 years and everything. So what I was impressed, I thought that Kentucky, their toughest competition was Indiana and Baylor, because Indiana beat them once during the season, and I thought Baylor had the athletes to keep up with them, with their skill level. But eventually Kentucky both beat them handily. So I just was really impressed with their whole team. I think this team was, I'm more impressed with this team more than I saw when John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins was playing there, you know, because this team is selfless. It doesn't have an ego or...
Yeah, they're a very good team. Of course, North Carolina lost their point guard.
Sure.
But they're mainly healthy, but they do have a really solid team, and they get good guard play. They got good players up front. That's what makes them so hard to beat.
Okay, this is my last question. I'll move it to other callers. Do you think Illinois will ever be a top-tier Big Ten team?
Oh, sure. They've been one in the past from time to time. They've had years. They've never been a consistently good football. Or which one? You talking one particular sport?
I'm talking about basketball, really.
Yeah, they can get there. You know, all the good players in Chicago there, if they can start getting more players out of the city of Chicago, that would help.
They've been saying that forever. The city of Chicago, the Northwestern is never good. They right close to Chicago, too, Earl.
Yeah, well, Northwestern has it. You know, you've got to be a very strong academically to get Northwestern.
Okay,
so
I understand that, but I just think about it. Illinois is just one of them sleeping giants. I don't know if they could find the right coach there. They looked at Shaka Smart and then Frank Martin and everything. I think they need a big, strong coach, but ever since Bill Self left, they should have kept him. They really could. They would have been up in the top tier Big Ten conference, but...
They could have, but, you know, money talks, so if the school comes by and offers you a lot more money, a lot of guys will take it.
Okay, then. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Okay.
I appreciate it, man.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mike. And that's Michael from Saginaw. Yes, that thing in basketball, you know, if you get asked, you get a big money offer, just like South Carolina. South Carolina hasn't done squat in basketball. They haven't even been to the NCAA tournament since 1973. So now they get to get Frank Martin to come there, and he's been there four of the last 5 years from Kansas State, and it looks like he's going to get that South Carolina job. And that's a daunting task to get a school in the program and to build them up since they haven't been in since 1973. But that's the job, and he wants to accept that challenge. South Carolina is not a great school, but you know, they're hoping that they can bring them to national prominence. Let's go back to the phones. We've got JC on the line. JC, how you doing?
Hey, Earl, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, I'm an Eastern grad, but boy, I tell you what, I had my red and white on over the weekend. I was rooting for those guys over there at Sexton so hard, and I'm just glad a Lansing team won it, and I was hoping Eastern would get there the same day. Wouldn't that have been something?
That would have been. It would have been nice if they could have did that, that's for sure.
And, you know, I love talking football this time of year because down south they talk 24/7.
Yes, they do.
And, you know, we've had two 11-win seasons, and we should be talking about it, too, and we should be proud of our Spartans.
Yes, they had a great year for the last 2 years, two great years, two outstanding seasons.
Yep. And I am in a brain cramp here. The backup quarterback last year behind Cousins.
Yeah, Andrew Maxwell.
And Maxwell. You know, I watched him in the spring game and then the fall game last year, and I'll tell you what, that guy has a quick release. You know, and I know Cousins broke every record and this and that, and I love the kid. Love him to death. But I think Maxwell has a little quicker release, and he seemed to make quicker decisions. Now, I don't know if that's good or bad for interceptions, but did you see that at all?
Yes, he makes. He's very good on the decision making. He's a very strong quarterback. And when Mark D'Antonio talked about him this way, he says, you know, those are he's got. He says he's a lot like Cousins in personality. They both have a very similar personality.
Yep.
So he's looking forward to him. He thinks he's going to fit in quite well. He says he knows the system really. He knows the system backwards and forwards.
I saw. I don't know if you noticed it in the spring games, but it just looked like he had a little bit quicker release than Cousins, or decision-making.
Well, it might be. Well, he knows the system, and that's the good. That's the thing you need to know. He knows the system. Hey, we got to move on. We got a guest on the line. We'll talk to you later. Thank you. We've got our friend Jeff Kimmerly on the line. Jeff, how you doing, my man?
I'm good, Earl. I'm sorry to keep you waiting for me here a little bit.
Oh, yeah, no problem. You know, we wanted to talk about spring ball and wrap up the basketball season, and of course, all the teams that are moving from up from A to B to C to D, and the ones moving down. Seems like there's a lot of movement this year.
There is a lot of movement this year. The number for Class A went down substantially. I think it was 42 or 43 students. Basically, I think down to 9-12, which around here moved Fowlerville up. Moved up a few other schools that traditionally had always been kind of big B's, and even not even the biggest of B's. DeWitt moved up to Class A last season, and they had always been considered, you know, maybe one of the bigger A schools because they had grown a little bit the last couple of years. Fowlerville, they were kind of, I'd say, upper half of B, but never really threatening to move up, but they are now Class A. Leslie is now Class B. They had always been C and had even been D. For a while before that. So there's definitely a lot of movement. We had, I wish I had it in front of me right now, I think we had 22 schools move up in some way or another. So,
That was a lot of movement this year. Do you see, when you look at the movement, the one thing I wanted to ask too, do the numbers go up or have the numbers gone down? And that's the cutoff number. I think it used to be like 1,100 or something. I know that was a few years ago, but now it's down to 900, the cutoff number for A, the cutoff number where they put A to B to C to D. Are those numbers lower?
I mean, the cutoff for A to B is definitely gone down. Mm-hmm. I think it's gone down 42 or 43 students. It's down to, I believe it's 9-12 now. I can remember it being, you know, within the last decade, I would say it was up closer to probably about 1,000, maybe a little bit over 1,000. Mason was St. John's. They were always kind of on the cusp of one or the other there. And I mean, they're securely Class A now. The line between B and C, I think that is 17 students lower this year, and then Class D, C to D is actually one student higher because we have exactly 760 member schools next school year, and we try, you know, the best we can to split those into quarters, and we just happen to have four equal classes. So that also helps the numbers shift a little bit.
Okay. Hey, Jeff, we got to take a short break, but we'll be right back with you. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
The shooting of Trayvon Martin prompted President Obama to call on Americans to do some soul searching. But can we talk about race openly and honestly? I'm Neil Conan. How the conversation's changed since the death of Trayvon Martin and how we talk about race. Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming your way today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good to have you with us. I'm Scott Pohl with a weather forecast. It'll be partly sunny today with a chance of late in the day rain and thunderstorms. The high, 51. A chance of rain and thunderstorms with an overnight low of 48 degrees tonight. Windy and mostly sunny tomorrow. The high, 61. Mostly sunny. The high, 49 Thursday.
Hey, Jeff, give us a call first. Give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Jeff, do you ever see a time when we might, I know it's been talked about sometimes, but we might have spring football, or at least a week or two of spring football?
I don't think so. I don't think we will up here. I think we have so much interest in the other spring sports that we have up here, and I don't see schools ever being interested in interrupting that. You know, we have strong track programs. We have strong baseball. You know, we have very good golf up here, and it's, lacrosse has gotten bigger. I just don't see it taking hold. I don't think that's something that our members really have a big interest in, because it does get thrown around quite a bit. You know, I'm sure football people might like it a little bit more, but, you know, I don't know that it would be across the board.
Yeah, what about starting in the fall a little earlier? I know we've talked about that in the past. You ever see maybe that they'll start practice in the fall maybe another week or earlier than they do
I don't necessarily see that either, because school got moved
back. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Two more weeks. So now that school does not start, classes don't resume until after Labor Day. Athletes are already in practice a month almost before school starts. Actually, it's 3 weeks, and I think there's another week of conditioning in there as well. I don't see the benefit of starting another week earlier. I mean, there's so little summer now as it is, you know, especially if you have an athlete who is a three-sport or a spring athlete. They're not finishing up their season until the first or second or even the third weekend of June. I don't see cutting down their summer. I mean, they already are in constant training, and we already give them a dead period that they have to adhere to. I think it's the second or the first full week in July. I don't see starting football another week earlier. I mean, they're still kids. They need to have some time off.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, let's talk about the basketball season that just finished. You know, this was one of those years where they didn't have any really exciting games in the finals. Does that hurt the basketball a little bit when all the best teams won, of course, and they were all blowouts basically?
Well, I think, you know, I don't know what the attendance number is exactly, but I know that it was pretty good for the boys. Mm-hmm. And we had good games in the semis.
Yes, we did.
And you know, it just kind of happened that it fell that way. You know, but there's still lots of stories of note that I think kept people interested. And there were still some schools that traveled pretty well that made it to Saturday. I mean, Rockford was unranked entering the postseason. Nobody expected them to make it all the way to the Class A championship game, especially when they had to beat number 2 Romulus in the semifinal to get there. But, you know, they did make it to Saturday. And although they lost, they bring a ton of people. I mean, that lower bowl was full.
Yes.
And I would say 75% of those people were from Rockford. So even though that wasn't much of a game, you know, they still had a lot of people there. Kind of the same thing for Stevensville Lakeshore. They had never been in a final. And they probably weren't expected to make this final because they had to get through Muskegon Heights, and Muskegon Heights lost their leading scorer on Tuesday to an injury, and, you know, it basically were out there with a bunch of sophomores who are going to be really good the next couple of years. But Lakeshore making it to Saturday, although obviously Sexton, you know, got up on them big pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Lakeshore brought a ton of people there who had never been there before. So even though those games maybe weren't the greatest games, the crowds were good because there's still a lot of excitement about just getting that chance to be on that floor.
Yes, and that's one thing, Jeff, I think we've seen over the years. If you're there for the first time, usually you'll have a great crowd. You'll have a lot of people following you, and a lot of people will come from that community.
Well, and if you look at teams that were there all weekend, both Class D finalists, Southfield Christian, Southfield Christian was there for the first time. I was thinking Traverse City, St. Francis, but their Class C, they were there for the first time in the finals. Flint Beecher has been there quite a few times. That was the first time they'd won a championship since 1987. Climax Scotts was the Class D runner-up. That's the first time they had been there on a championship Saturday. So you have a lot of that, and you have some communities that are very good supporters. I mean, Climax Scotts, we're talking Class D, but they're a big football school. Their fans come they come to play. And I know the one of their players mentioned how they had made shirts and they had sold out within a day. So those people were very excited to be part of this year.
And that's always great when the kids and the whole community. That's what I love about football and when the fans come from the smaller communities. Usually you have a whole town or a significant part of a team, say, either whether it's from up north or either you know, in Upper Michigan or somewhere, you know, in Grand Rapids area. Some of those teams that have never been down here, they really do turn out and make it to a fun weekend.
Well, they do, and you know, Kearney Naidoo is down from, you know, the central UP, and they brought a good share of people for a small Class D school that had to travel 6 hours or whatever it is, something like that, probably. But then you look, you know, some of our traditional teams, it was great to see them back because they brought great crowds too. Flint Beecher had a great showing, you know, just some really excited people, and Saginaw was there, and they had a lot of people, and they brought their band, which might be my favorite high school band in the state when it comes to, you know, pep bands playing at games. And, you know, they brought their whole group, and, you know, you just have a good fan base at these schools who there's such strong tradition there, and they really get behind their teams. And, you know, that's, to us, that's what it's all about.
Yes, that's really good because yeah, you need that fan support from the schools and from whatever school they're from, and that's great. When you look at the games, and you're right, Sexton went up, and as we talked about, and I know you heard me ask the question after the game about was Sexton one of the greatest teams ever in the state, going to three state finals. I guess that has a lot to do with it. That really is a good basketball team.
Well, and, you know, I saw in the Free Press, I think it was yesterday, it might have been today, maybe it was yesterday, maybe it was Monday even, you know, McCabe making the argument that, yes, this is one of the best teams that has come through the finals. Definitely locally, we've made that argument 100 times. I would say they and the Everett and Eastern teams from the 70s are probably the best three, although I still think that Waverly team in 2000 would be a tough matchup. But I would say those four would be, you know, four really good teams from arguably the best basketball area in the state. You know, you look at that Sexton team and just how they could do so many different things, and yes, especially offensively, how they could run, but they could shoot from outside. They had three, four guys that they could go to at any time to score. It was truly, you know, a great run in these last two seasons, and really the last three, although the season 3 years ago was really just kind of showing people that, hey, we're about to become something big. You know, it's definitely locally, it's the best that we've seen in at least a decade, if not more, and maybe the best we're going to see for a long time. You don't have teams running around with three Division I guards on very often.
Okay, we got a question in for you. It says, when Lansing high schools go to 7th through 12th grade, can 8th graders play JV or varsity, and do these students count towards the population of the school? Is this the case? Would Sexton now become a Class A school?
No. The enrollment is strictly for 9 through 12, and no, they would not be able to play JV or varsity. That the varsity or any eighth graders playing in high school is reserved for schools that are the smallest of our small, and I don't know what the exact number is off the top of my head, but I think their total enrollment has to be something like below 40 students or something. So obviously none of the city schools would apply.
Okay, and that's one of the things we got that settled when we get. Now, what I know the school districts, they're not going to be closing any of the schools here in the Mid-Michigan area. I know that's going to make a lot of fans happy. That would have really done if one school had to close and then the two schools had to merge, but at least it's been put off for a while. So I know a lot of people in the Mid-Michigan area are happy about that.
Well, it was a great idea, and, you know, I always had this feeling because, you know, we have other friends in the media that would often ask what's going to happen here, and I never felt like they're going to close a high school. It's, those three schools have such strong support, but very individual identities. I mean, the Sexton people are Sexton people. The Eastern people are Eastern people. The Everett people are Everett people. I couldn't see, you know, Sexton and Eastern kind of mixing together into one school. And I'm glad it's worked out that they haven't. I mean, it is sad. They're going to close some other schools. I think Otto Middle School is one of those schools they're closing down, and that one, you know, in terms of a middle school, some great athletes have come through there on their way to the high school level. But I think this was a great answer. You know, it keeps all three high schools going, keeps all three of those communities vibrant, and, you know, I don't see their enrollment. I don't know that it's going to go down that much more, to be honest. I'm not quite sure, you know, where or how, you know, what the next step would be that way. But I hope this kind of does stick for a while, because I think it was a pretty nice solution and a, you know, a great job by the leadership to make that happen.
Okay. We got a question for you from Tim from Flushing. Tim, how you doing? Hey, Tim.
Were you talking to Jim?
Oh, Jim or Jim from Flushing? Okay.
Jim of Lansing.
Oh, of Lansing. Okay.
Sorry about
that'll work.
Yeah.
I live right by Sexton, and my kids went there. But I'm kind of curious, in listening to the interviews with Coach Valentine, it kind of sounded like, you know, over the years, they've recruited this cluster of young men that were superb athletes, dedicated to it, and they've, you know, it was kind of, you know, these guys have been recruited and moved along and given the basketball program a real dominant that probably in days of yore when attendance at a school was pretty much based on where you live, wouldn't have happened. I'm just curious, do you have any sense of whether these kids were natural Sexton guys, or were they people that had been recruited to kind of cluster together? And,
well,
I
can tell you that. Yeah, I can tell you that Carlton told us yesterday when we had him on that they grew up together. They were friends for all the time for life, and they spent a lot of time together. So,
yeah, well, I know, I realize that. But that doesn't mean that they would have been going to Sexton naturally, that they were in the same neighborhood or in the attendance area. I mean, I live right near Sexton, and the kids across the street would go to Eastern back before they had the new attendance rules. Anyway, I was just curious if you had any knowledge of that. I'll hang up.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, you know anything about that, Jeff? Or
I mean, from what I know, obviously the Valentine's, you know, went to Waverly up until Drew was a sophomore, which would have been 4 or 5 years ago. So that means Denzel would have been in 6th or 7th grade. They did all know each other. They've all known each other since they were 8 or 9. I do believe that the other main players, you know, that people would recognize, I do believe that they were Sexton growing up. I can't say that for absolutely for sure. But I know the Canes, there was an older, there was Marcus Kane, who was in Sexton 3 or 4 years ago. You know, and Jeff Kane is his little brother. I believe, you know, the Clemens, Anthony Clemens, I think he was all the way through Sexton, you know, that part of the school district, and some of the other ones too. You know, I can't say that for absolute for sure. I don't know where they all went to middle school or elementary school, but, you know, whereas arguments have been made years before that, you know, these kids came from here or there, and you can say that in the city about a lot of different programs. I think a lot of these kids grew up near Sexton more or lived right down the road. And like you said, they definitely have known each other for a long, long time. I think Jeff Kane said Saturday that they'd all been playing together since they were 8 or 9. So, and Bryn Forbes said that he had known his teammates since they were 10 or 11 years, which obviously, again, is a long time. So I got the impression that this was, you know, a very Sexton, you know, through and through group.
Yes. Hey, Jeff, I want to thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And we'll get back during the spring and talk about some of the other spring sports and what's going on during the spring with you.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Yep. Have a good day, Earl.
You too. Yep. Bye-bye. And that's Jeff Kimmerly from the Michigan High School Athletic Association right here on AM 870 WKAR. It's 20 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
After months of waiting, the Affordable Care Act finally gets its days in court. At stake, health coverage for millions, the limits of federal power, and given the timing of any decision, the focus of the 2012 presidential election. I'm Neil Cunningham, the Health Care Act and the Constitution, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Today will be partly sunny. We could get some rain and thunderstorms late today with a high in the low 50s. Tonight there's a chance of rain and thunderstorms and the low will be 48. Windy and mostly sunny with a high of 61 tomorrow and mostly sunny with a high in the upper 40s on Thursday. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. But also spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR in East Lansing. And we're going to chat with Coach Tom Izzo coming up shortly and talk with him, get his thoughts on the previous season and look ahead to next year with Coach Tom Izzo. We'll do that with him as well. So we've got a lot on the plate today. We'll be talking about some everything. So let's bring in our guest, our good friend Tom Izzo. Coach, how you doing today?
Good, Earl. How are you?
Hey, feeling good. You had a very good season. I know it didn't end the way you wanted to, but tell us about how do you review the season?
Well, Earl, I thought we had a great season. You know, you never like when it ends in a way when you thought you could have moved on. I mean, I didn't know how good we were half the year, but I thought we were good enough to get by Louisville. I really did, and I think the game proved it. You know, we did not play our best, and they, I don't know where they felt they played, but they played pretty good, and part of it was because of them, I'm sure, but part of it was us, and yet we were, you know, it was a 6-8 point game most of the way, and just couldn't get over the hump. So you looked at the way we played the last month of the season, you know, for the most part, especially Ohio State here, you know, we played really well, and Big Ten tournament, we might have been playing some of our best basketball in a couple of years, and the first round of the NCAA tournament, and so I think it was a huge success, a little disappointing at the end, but love the team, love being around them, great group.
Yes, now, when you lost Brandon Dawson, that hurt, that injury hurt, yeah. And some, but other than that, you know, how did you look at the season overall?
Well, you know, I mean, it started out disappointing. I mean, you know, we lose Dewan Henderson in the end of August just because of things he went through, and then you lose Delvon Rowe in the middle of September, you know, or beginning of October before practice started, and, you know, there's a three-year starter. We kind of forget about him. But then we stayed pretty injury-free up until Trice went down and Thornton a little bit, and then, of course, Dawson at the end. But as we learned in this tournament, if you look at North Carolina or you look at Syracuse or you look at teams like that, I mean, injuries took a Carolina team and took their top two guards out of the game. You know, it's just the price of doing business. It's things that happen. But overall, what an incredible year, you know, to be ranked, I think, strength of schedule 1 or 2, RPI 2 or 3, it means we didn't do it the easy way. We did it the hard way, and I think that's what I'm proudest of.
Yes. Now, let's look ahead to next year. What do you expect from next year's team? You got some potentially some outstanding freshmen coming. We don't want to put the label on them too soon, but it looks like you've got some freshmen who really could do it, come in and do some things.
Well, they're going to need to, you know, and I think the leading candidates to have to do some immediately will be Denzel and Gary Harris, you know, Denzel Valentine and Gary Harris. Denzel, because he has such versatility, knowledge of the game. Gary Harris brings that athleticism, size, and has had an incredible high school career. So those two guys are bigger guards. One can play a couple positions. I think in Denzel, I'm not sure he couldn't play 3 or 4 different positions, you know. And then watching his team this weekend, watching Carlton and the job they did, the unselfishness of his team, is something everybody should look at, because I was so impressed. It didn't matter who it was that had the ball. They were looking to get someone a better shot than the one they had, and you just got to give a lot of credit to Carlton on that, because you don't see that very often.
Yes, especially at the high school level.
Yep.
I mean, I know I haven't seen that in years, but for a team to be as unselfish as they were, that was really unique. I don't know if we'll ever see that again at the high school level, Tom, but that was certainly a very good, like you say, a very unselfish team.
Well, you know, when they start talking about this being one of the best high school teams in years, you know, right away I said, my God, you know, I mean, Oakland's had some good teams, and you look back, and Everett had some good teams, and then you look back, and then, of course, Magic and Jay, Sam and them. But when you look at the unselfishness of this group, not having watched those teams back in Irvin and Jay's era, I mean, every guy was that way, too. It wasn't just one or two, you know. Usually you can have one or two unselfish guys, but they demonstrated team camaraderie, chemistry, and the ability to pass the ball as well as any high school team I've watched in 10 years.
Hey, we got a special guest in the studio with us. Rico Beard is in with us, and Rico's got a question for you.
Hey, Tom, what will it take for this team to make it back to the Final Four? Looking at next year's team, what will it take for these guys to make the Final Four in Atlanta next year?
Well, I think everybody's got to improve, you know, and not some of the guys, everybody. I mean, Keith's got to take a giant step. You know, Trace, Kearney, those three guys got to take giant steps because they have some experience now. Nixon Payne got to continue to improve. You know, I think Dawson has to take another big leap, you know, and then see if we can get, you know, Bird has been a kind of a sleeping giant a little bit, and I say that because he gives us one thing we haven't had in a while. He's got an NBA three-point shooter, you know, and he's got it with size. You know, when you look at the Roth from Indiana type guy, or guys at Notre Dame or even Kentucky brings off the bench, you know, guys that can just shoot the basketball, it's incredible how everybody's got a couple, and whether it's 10, 15, 20, 25 minutes a game, they can help you. And I think with his size, if we can get him back healthy, that's going to be important. And then the freshmen coming in, a couple of them are going to have to help immediately. And but I think they're going to be ready to help Rico. I really do.
Tom, what about that leadership? I know that's going to be different next year. I guess maybe that's all we can say about it. We know it can't be like Draymond in Austin, but so it will probably be different next year, won't it?
Well, it's going to be different. I mean, number one, you had two guys that were in the program 4 and 5 years. Number two, you know, it's kind of funny because Mateen's walking around our office as we speak, and, you know, you look at certain guys have that gift to not be afraid to hear their own voice. He and Draymond were two guys that had that gift. A lot of other good players, some other good leaders. You know, Andre Hudson was a good leader, and Charlie Bell when they were seniors. But different is a right word. The most important word is, do we have it? If it's different, it's okay. Do you have it, though? Do you have some kind of leadership? Guys that are going to direct other guys, help the freshmen, you know, come in, help the sophomores and juniors grow. Keep them in mind every minute of every day when you're in the locker room, and not forget what got us what we got this year. And that'll be the job of, you know, a Nix, an Appling, hopefully a guy like Trice is not afraid to hear his own voice, you know, see who does step up.
Yeah, could you see a freshman come in and take some of those leadership roles?
You know, it's hard. It's hard, you know. I mean, I guess Magic Johnson did it, but you know, I think the closest thing I've had was Cleaves, and he did do some of that, you know, but it's very difficult. You know, I think Denzel has the personality and the qualities to do that. I don't think Gary has that, but Denzel might have some of that, but it's very difficult for a freshman to do that because you got to have your own game under wraps, first of all, then you got to have confidence and then you got to have the personality to speak, which he has. But you got to have a lot of different qualities to be able to do that as a freshman. As long as what I'm hoping he does is grows into that but learns to be a good follower. And that's what you have to do, too. You have to have good leaders, but you have to have great followers. And I think we're going to have that. I really do.
Yeah, because after watching Denzel for the last 3 or 4 years, basically, I mean, he could come in and play a multiple positions. I mean, I could see him coming in and basically being like Draymond Green. I mean, he has that kind of skill.
Well, he does, except he has better guard skills, mm-hmm. you know, of course. You know, I mean, he can play some 1-2-3, you know. And the other difference is, you know, Draymond's shot was okay. I think Denzel's got a good shot. He just needs reps now, you know. Reps and confidence, and I can't think of anybody who'll work harder at it, you know. I mean, if he doesn't want it, his dad will have him in there doing it, you know, and I mean that in a positive way, because Carlton, he gets it, he understands it. That's, you know, we talk about a lot of their players, but, boy, we should give a shout out to Carlton, you know. I mean, the job he's done there in bringing that program along the last 4 or 5 years has been incredible. You know, you look at what he's accomplished and what he's done, and you know, playing all the big schools, and you know, we've been lucky around this city.
Oh yes, we have.
No, so Tom, yeah, looking at Denzel, you kind of talked about compared him to Allen Anderson at the press conference, and then I can kind of see that. So, using him as a utility player, you can just kind of fit him wherever you need him next year.
Yeah, and those kind of guys are great to have. I mean, in our own way. You know, we started out playing Draymond at the center position, you know, if you look back, and Delbon at the four, you know, and then, you know, he's moved around, and we've even played Draymond at the point some, but Allen was the guy we played at the three, and then we moved him to the point, and then his senior year we moved him to the four, and kind of flourished in all ways. I mean, I think, you know, in Denzel, he'll definitely be a perimeter player because that's where his skills are, but I'm just saying in a pinch, I think he's smart enough and he understands the game well enough that he could play five positions the way he plays. I mean, he'll post up some, he can get in a perimeter, he can be a two-guard, he can be a one-man. He just brings the thing I like in a player, and that's versatility.
Yes, would you see, like, for instance, Matt Costello who's coming in, does he have to improve in one certain area, just need to improve overall? Do the freshmen have to just have a general improvement, overall improvement, or do you see some specific areas where they need
What I like about these freshmen is they're all four workers. They all work on their game. They all work on their game by themselves. You know, I mean, I've heard legendary stories about both Costello and Valentine, you know. Valentine's in the gym 5:30 in the morning for a couple of years straight, you know. Gary Harris works on his game morning, noon, and night while he's playing football. He's in the gym shooting baskets, you know. So I think we have guys that are going to work on their game and improve, but Costello has to probably work on his actual post-up. He's more of a mid-range guy, or mid-post guy and high-post guy. So it's back to the basket stuff, and I think he's got to work on range rebounding. You know, I think he rebounds well that come to him. He's got to learn to go get them. The ones, you know, and that makes the difference, and that's what Draymond had, that skill and quality, and it was pretty good.
We've seen Draymond make so much progression from freshman to sophomore to junior to senior. I mean, have you ever had a player make that much progress as much as Draymond made?
No. Not if you talk about all aspects. I mean, you know, I mean, a Morris Peterson, but it wasn't as steady. But, I mean, he changed his body, then he changed his game. But, he, you know, we didn't ask him to do as many versatile things as you asked Dede to do. And, I've never had a player that has progressed more, been asked to do more than he has.
Tom, is there, an up-to-date progress on Brandon Dawson? Are we looking at maybe seeing him, you know, mid next season?
Well, the progress report now is that by, you know, end of August, September, he'll be able to start going, you know, pretty good. We've gained a month already, and we might gain a little bit of more time. But the other side of it is we're not going to rush nothing. I mean, this kid has a future in basketball. So we're going to, you know, it's out of my hands. It's completely between him and the doctors. And so we're going to do what we can do with his upper body, what we can do with his leg strength, what we can do with free throw shooting and things like that. Maybe ball handling he'll be able to do a little more of. We're going to try to get him better in the areas that he can do without, you know, spend any time on that knee. And yet, you know, it's how fast he recovers once he starts playing, Rico. It's that's the unknown, you know. How much does the time off affect month to come back, sometimes 2-3 months, some guys 4 months. You know, it's different for everybody. If everything else that we've witnessed with this kid so far, if it goes the same once he comes back, I say he speeds the process up because he's been ahead of schedule right now.
How about a Brandon Kearney who you said when we talked earlier in the year that he had the mentality to come off and give you some good minutes off the bench? Do you have many players like that, or was he just a special kind of a player that you felt could fit that in that mold and come off the bench and be a good contributor?
No, he had some of Draymond's qualities as far as the understanding of the game. Kearney understands scouting reports. He understands defense. He understands what to do offensively. He understands how to feed the post. He's a very, you know, he's got versatility. You know, he's not as big, although he is long. But he has versatility also. He's got a good-looking shot. He needs reps on his shot, and he needs strength. And that's what he's got to work on this summer. But if you really look at where we thought he would be, and to finish the last 10-12 games, averaging 12-13 minutes a game, averaging over 10 minutes a game for the year, Kearney had a heck of a year for us, considering.
Okay. Hey, Tom, I want to thank you for joining us. As you know, it's always a pleasure talking with you, and we're going to have you back again and talk some more about next year's team and about basketball with you definitely over the summer.
We better talk about some football. And how to get Rico in great shape and get him.
I got to work on that.
Bit, you know, and we're gonna get Rico more. We're gonna get him more and more on your show. How's that?
Yeah, we can do that together. Yeah, we can do that.
Well, listen, Earl, I appreciate you, Rico. You've been great all year. I hope you guys have a good little time off if you get some, and I look forward to talking to both of you.
All right, see you, Tom.
Hey, see you later, Coach. Yep, bye bye. And that's MSU coach Tom Izzo talking with us right here on AM 870. Rico Beard was able to come over. And see, it's nice to get the stars on. See, you're one of the stars. Rico, you always ragging on me about, oh, you're a Hall of Famer and stuff. No, you're the star. I'm just here, you know, holding down the fort for you.
You in the Hall of Fame. I just appreciate the valet parking that you gave me when I walked in here. I was at the wrong part of the WKAR estate.
Well,
so that's what took
bigger.
So long.
It's gotten a little larger.
But as soon as I said I was on Earl's show, they gave me a private escort. I hopped on a jet and got here.
Hey, Rico, I know you saw all the football. What impressed you the most about, I know I'll be talking more about football in the coming week, but what impressed you most about the things you heard from Coach D'Antonio today?
I think the biggest thing that impressed me, and it's kind of where he has been going ever since he became head coach of this program, is the building of depth. Michigan State has probably the most depth I've ever seen since I've followed them. Normally, it was they would have, you know, they could compete with you in the top 22, the top 22 on the field. But as soon as someone got injured, the drop-off from starter to reserve was so dramatic that the season was over if they lost one or two people. Whereas you saw last year, they lost a lot of key people on the offensive line, didn't really miss a beat. They were able to plug in other players. It took them about a game to get their feet underneath them. I think the Notre Dame game, you kind of saw, you know, new players and new positions. But after that, team bounced back, and they went on and, you know, won the Legends Division and played in the Big Ten Championship game. So that and the fact that you don't see the freshmen coming in playing right away.
Okay. Hey, Rico, I want to thank you for joining me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. I want to thank you all for listening and for calling. We invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. You'll have a guest host tomorrow. Jeremy Sampson will be in. Rico Cooney will be in. I'll get it right. The other Rico will be in here tomorrow. And Sports Talk 870, and Jeremy Sampson will be in for me on Friday. So thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling, and join us again tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. So make sure you have yourself a very safe and a pleasant evening, and we'll look to hear from you tomorrow right here on WKAR East Lansing. Have a good evening.
From NPR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.